Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on this recorded program via remote on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday,
April 1st, 2020.
One patient recovers from the coronavirus in Sudan.
This was really, really hard, really hard. Actually, when I came here to the Jabra Hospital, there was another period of isolation. And then where you receive a regularly, very good medical care.
And South Sudanese health officials say the best way to prevent the spread of the coronavirus is by implementing WHO guidelines.
Here the focus is on making the environment conducive for the health workers, but also for the patients when they come.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese health officials say a foreigner who tested positive for the coronavirus has recovered and was discharged from the hospital on Wednesday. Sudan's health minister says the Spanish national who tested positive upon arrival from Dubai last month is now free of the coronavirus. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Spanish national Emmanuel Martinez, who works for the UN's World Food Programme in Sudan, tested positive for the virus and admitted at Khartoum's Jabra Quarantine Center on March 16, 2 days after arriving from the United Arab Emirates. Minutes after being discharged, Martinez told the Sudan News Agency he was grateful to Sudanese medical team for saving his life.
This was really, really hard, really hard. Actually, when I came here to the Jabra Hospital, there was another period of isolation, and then where you receive a regularly, very good medical care. The medical personnel, they give you hope, and they treat me in a very human way.
Martins says he is psychologically affected by what he called a horrible experience during that 2 weeks period, especially hearing about new deaths from the COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus.
The most difficult thing from the isolation is not the illness, the fever, of course, but when you don't know what will happen with you. This is the reason why I think it's very important to work in information. If the patient gets right information, the patient will react even better.
Al-Shafi' Hussein is an emergency medical specialist who helped treat Martins. Speaking in Arabic, Hussein calls on all citizens to take precautionary measures seriously.
We deal with this case professionally through all these days, and finally he was tested negative. And this is the first cure case in Sudan. We really wish the rest of the patients a quick recovery.
Speaking in Arabic during a media briefing last night, Sudanese Health Minister Akram Atom said while Martins is cured, the Sudanese Health Ministry worries about other suspected cases of COVID-19 with people who arrived in Sudan last month. Atom says currently only 60% of all arrivals entering Sudan through Khartoum Airport and other border crossings are reachable, but Sudanese health officials are checking on the ones they know about.
We request all citizens who provided wrong address upon their arrival to Sudan that they should immediately and with no further delay provide our calling center with correct information and their address. We need to know the date of their arrival, flight company, and their current address, including phone contact.
Sudan has recorded 7 positive cases of COVID-19. 2 of the cases, both Sudanese nationals, died from the disease. The other 4 patients, 3 Sudanese and 1 Indian national, are undergoing treatment in Khartoum. Health officials also say they are monitoring nearly 100 other suspected cases. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Kenya projects it could tally up to 10,000 coronavirus cases by the end of April unless more measures to restrict movement are taken to halt the coronavirus spread. With social distancing and night curfew already in place, Those working in the transportation sector are facing hardships and are now wondering whether to carry on with their work or stay at home and earn nothing. Muhammad Yusuf reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Countries like South Africa and Uganda have gone on lockdown as a measure to fight the coronavirus, which has spread to nearly every country in the world. In Kenya, the public is ordered to stay at home from dusk to dawn. This African nation is known for its matatus, a minibus used to transport people. It usually carries more people than there are seats in the vehicle. 43-year-old Jackson Mwangi is a bus driver in Nairobi, and he must choose daily between the risk of contracting the disease or letting his family go hungry.
But even if I fear, the other problem that faces me directly, immediately, is that do I have the reserves? No. I wake up every day, I make the little for my family, and that is what we eat each and every day.
Elizabeth Njoki also works in the public transport sector. She says some passengers are not taking good care of themselves in public places.
The flow of the commuters has just reduced. The other problem is some of the commuters would like to board the bus when it's full. Some of them don't want to use the sanitizers. And also because this virus, you cannot detect somebody who's sick and who's not sick. We are working with a lot of fear.
Kenya's Ministry of Health has directed the owners of the buses to disinfect themselves after every trip and provide hand sanitizers as one of the measures to cap the spread of the virus, which has claimed the life of one person. According to those familiar with the public buses in Nairobi, one bus transports up to 300 people a day. The Minister of Health Director, Patrick Amoth, said Monday that the coronavirus is spreading within communities.
This virus is not following a particular trend. Our modelling puts us at having about 1,000 cases by the first week of April, and we postulate that we'll have 5,000 cases by mid-April and potentially 10,000 cases by 30th of April.
Kenyan authorities are encouraging the population to stay at home, something Njoki, the mother of three, would like to do, but her financial situation won't allow it.
I would want to stay at home and be isolated, but it's hard for me because I have kids whom I'm supposed to cater for.
Simon Kimutai is the chairman of the Matatu Owners Association, a group that owns and operates minibuses.
I think what needs to happen is that there needs to be a lot of sensitization, including not only Matatu crew, including the service users. These are the people who are traveling. These are the passengers. That they should have their own sanitizers in their pockets. They should know if they are coughing that they should stay at home.
Kenya has 59 confirmed cases of coronavirus so far and has had one death. Mohamed Yusu for VA News, Nairobi.
Health officials in South Sudan are urging people to use available resources to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in the country. The officials are distributing preventive items, sensitizing health workers, and teaching the public about personal hygiene, including regular hand washing. Emmanuel Barigo Achini, executive director of the nonprofit HealthLink, says although South Sudan has no confirmed case of the COVID-19, teaching people how to avoid catching the virus will avert a looming health crisis. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Speaking into megaphones outside Gure Primary Health Care Center near Juba, frontier health workers educate residents about how the novel coronavirus is spread. The volunteers also carry placards bearing the messages like wash your hands with soap, avoid crowded places, and stay home when feeling flu-like symptoms. At the center, volunteers have placed water, liquid soap, and hand sterilizers at the main entrance so visitors, patients, and health workers can either wash or sanitize their hands before entering or exiting the facility. The local non-governmental organization, HealthLink, which equipped 18 health centers and hospitals around Juba with soap and sanitizers, and teaches residents about how to prevent the spread of the virus. Emmanuel Barigo Achini, executive director for HealthLink, says although South Sudan has no confirmed cases, educating people will avert a coronavirus crisis.
Here the focus is on making the environment conducive for the health workers, but also for the patients when they come. At the moment, the priority is to ensure there's enough running water for hand washing in all these facilities. And we have pre-positioned disinfectants.
Achini says HealthLink is also erecting incinerators in health facilities so that health workers can properly handle waste. South Sudan announced a curfew in cities and towns across the country as a precautionary measure to avert a coronavirus outbreak. There are no confirmed cases in South Sudan, but all of its neighbors have coronavirus cases. Achini says HealthLink cannot guarantee that preventive measures will be able to prevent the virus from reaching South Sudan, noting the ETU or Ebola treatment unit does not have many beds.
We can't say really that the systems we have put in place is now sufficient enough that if we get a case of coronavirus, we'll be able to manage. I can assure you the ETU we have has only 25 beds.
Dr. Amuna Juma runs the Malakia Health Facility in Juba.
Hand washing is very important, and now we have taken a step to see into it that every person getting inside here is to wash. And every day we used to give health education to the patients to be aware about corona. Virus.
Peter Young Lado, who manages the Gure Health Facility in a Juba suburb, says it is a challenge convincing people to take preventive action.
Since this news broke out, the partners has been actually supporting us. They used to come for a visit to the facilities, and they have to give us some few informations about what is really going on. And since last week, we started getting some materials for IPCs, which is infection prevention and control materials, things like alcohol hand wrap and the mouth mask and soaps for washing.
South Sudan's high-level task force on coronavirus directed the Ministry of Health to increase the number of isolation units at the John Garang Infectious Disease Unit and Juba Teaching Hospital, and instructed the Ministry of Finance to provide hard currency to commercial banks of South Sudan to buy essential items like food, fuel, and medical products. That has yet to happen. Celestino Orem, Director of Primary Health Care in Central Equatorial State, says even though health facilities have basic prevention measures in place, they do not have the capacity to quarantine suspected cases or admit a large number of patients in the event of an outbreak.
We cannot accumulate all cases in case. We cannot quarantine all cases in one place. We need also to really to create more isolation, because other cases like maybe might have happened in the peripheral.
Achini says screening units will be created at the 18 health facilities to detect any suspected cases of coronavirus. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. This program is recorded via remote. Coming up, a swarm of locusts appears in Juba Town. Find out what the authorities are doing to chase away the insects. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way, but hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, a composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1-202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1-202-630-8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. South Africa is in its second week of a 21-day nationwide lockdown to try to slow the spread of the COVID-19. Science has shown that the best way to do this is to limit contact between humans as much as possible. The government is allowing certain services it deems to be essential, such as food stores, to remain open. But large gatherings of people are banned and citizens have been urged to remain indoors. However, in certain areas, security forces are struggling to enforce their regulations. Darren Taylor reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
I have confidence in the people of South Africa that they are going to abide by the restrictions that we have placed on their lives in order to save their lives.
President Cyril Ramaphosa addressed troops ahead of their deployment last Friday. He asked the police and soldiers to show restraint when enforcing the COVID-19 rules.
This is not a moment for skit and donner.
Skit and donner are the Afrikaans words for shoot and beat up. But over the weekend, the security forces were firing rubber bullets at groups of people roaming the streets of central Johannesburg. In some places, fist fights erupted as police pushed residents inside their homes. One of the flashpoints was Alexandra Township. This man says, "It's unfair of the government to expect us to be imprisoned in our shacks all day, every day. We haven't got nice homes like the rich people. I tried to leave my place to buy food and the soldiers would not let me through." The state locked the country down just before millions of South Africans got paid or received social grants. So crowds descended on grocery stores. A perfect way to spread the virus, says Community Safety Minister for Gauteng Province, Faith Mazibuko.
There's no compliance in relation to social distance, especially at the malls, and those that defy and want to open their taverns. We've got news for them. Is that as the Gauteng provincial...
Indeed, for many across Johannesburg, it was fun and not food that was the priority. And they broke the law to party at bars and nightclubs. The police arrested several entertainment venue owners who refused to close their businesses.
Where is the owner? The owner must come with us. Divier.
At a media briefing, Provincial Police Commissioner General Elias Mawela said some people just didn't seem to understand the gravity of the situation.
We have put behind bars 148 people who decided not to obey the regulations, and will continue to stamp the authority of the state.
But some, like the people packing this club in the suburb of Westbury, did not appear afraid of that authority.
Funny lockdown begin dit. Lekker soos dit hier lyk.
Partygoer Andrew October summarized the fatalism that the COVID-19 epidemic is inspiring among some South Africans. "Damn this lockdown," he said. "I'm going to get my kicks before I get that China virus." I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.
South Sudan government plans to use aerial spray to kill a swarm of locusts that has invaded the South Sudan capital, Juba. Abdulrahman Tamin, Director General at South Sudan's Agriculture and Food Security Ministry, says his office is expecting a plane from the Desert Locust Control Organization for Eastern Africa. David Monodanga reports for VOA from Juba.
Swarms of desert locusts invaded Juba, Kondokoro, and other areas on the outskirts of the capital last week, according to both residents and agriculture ministry officials. Resident Julie John witnessed the locust infestation hit Juba about a week ago.
I was in my room, and then I heard so much noise outside, people screaming and shouting. So I decided to go out to check what was going on. Just as I reached at the door, I realized that the sky was totally covered in locusts, thousands and thousands of locusts.
The desert locust initially crossed into South Sudan in February this year through Labon, Magui, Panyukwara, and Owinyi Kibul villages in eastern Equatorial State near the borders of Kenya and Uganda. A swarm of locusts can consume the same amount of food as 20 elephants in a day. Abdulrahman Tamim, Director General for Plant Protection in South Sudan's Agriculture and Food Security Ministry, says the insects do not pose much a threat now since it's dry season and there are no crops. Tamim says a plane from the Desert Locust Control Organization for Eastern Africa, or DALCO, should be arriving this week to spray the locusts.
We are now in possession of enough insecticide, which is being used in our region here for aerial spray, ULV formulation, which is chlorpyrifos, and we have requested one plane to be based here in Juba from DALCO.
The ULV, or ultra low volume formulation, Tamim refers to is a method of spray application where a small amount of chemicals are sprayed to treat a large area for pests with a ULV fogger that releases a water-based pesticide. Experts are researching a biological control and other non-chemical means to control locusts, but say they are primarily focused on insect growth regulators since locusts can quickly migrate away from most natural enemies. Agriculture expert Professor Rick Bain of Indiana University says along with chemical spraying, ducks can help control swarms of locusts in East African countries and Southwestern Asia. He says China is reportedly preparing to deploy an estimated 100,000 ducks to neighboring Pakistan to help curb the swarms of crop-eating locusts that invaded Pakistan in February. Bain says a single duck can eat more than 200 locusts a day and be more effective than pesticides.
If you have lots of ducks around in the beginning, they would be eating the young locusts before they became a problem. So if people were to raise ducks on a regular basis in South Sudan and everybody had lots of ducks, then they would probably reduce the problem, but you just don't get ducks right away. How do you handle a locust when they're already a problem? I think spraying would work, but it's expensive.
Giant nets, flamethrowers, lasers, and even huge vacuums all have been proposed in the past, but those things usually do not significantly reduce population levels over large areas, according to Bain. Abdulrahman Tamim, Director General of Plant Protection in South Sudan, says the Ministry of Agriculture aims to destroy the locust at the larva stage to minimize breeding.
Our plan is always to target the weakest point in the life cycle of locust, because we cannot chase these other locusts moving around. And especially if they are matured, they will not cause much damage.
Tamim says it's important to kill the mature locust that will lay eggs and hatch in about a month, which would destroy South Sudan's crops. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
With the swearing-in of 5 vice presidents in South Sudan last month, the new unity government is now urging citizens to reconcile. A number of public and private initiatives are now in place to foster reconciliation and dialogue among South Sudanese. Chika Udua reports from Juba.
31-year-old Junior Dow is sitting in the parlor of his home, gazing at photos of his slain cousin, who was killed as a soldier fighting in the civil war. that broke out in 2013. Three of Dow's siblings also died in the war, and his mother was tortured when rebel fighters dunked her into a water tank.
So my mama was put in there like four times. She fainted four times. And that is one thing that has made her not to come back to South Sudan again. She hated so much.
After losing so many family members to the conflict, Junior was left with resentment and bitterness towards other ethnic communities in South Sudan.
So I had in mind I want to get a gun so that if I get a chance to revenge.
Other South Sudanese have similar feelings. An estimated 400,000 people have died in the civil war. And the violence has left deep scars on the nation, with ethnic communities pitted against one another. In February, rival politicians, President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar, formed a transitional unity government after more than a year of negotiation and delay. Political analysts like Dr. James Okuk of the University of Juba are cautiously optimistic that this power-sharing deal, unlike others, will take hold and allow the nation to begin to heal.
It is a start, but the task is overwhelming, and we hope they will be up to the task, particularly reconciliation, which really require a lot of times, require a lot of efforts. The political leaders in this country have created those grievances by, you know, making the civilian to take sides of these political quarrels. And taking side has created these enmities among those communities. So with peace coming back now, I think it is time to mend those broken relations.
On the streets of Juba, several peace advocacy billboards display phrases such as, "It's time to forgive." At the University of Juba, students meet under a large tree to learn about how to give psychosocial support to those dealing with bitterness. The class is organized by Vivian Peter, a 33-year-old woman who had her own pain to work through after a rival ethnic group gunned down her husband. After his death, she studied psychology and counseling, and now she finds hope and healing in training therapists. She takes a particular interest in helping counsel youth who can easily join militia forces to carry out revenge. She says they are the most vulnerable demographic needing psychological support. Christianity is the major religion in South Sudan, and churches are also making an effort to restore peace. In another part of Juba, young activists have organized an event called Peace Camp. It offers a safe space for young people to talk about the pain of war. The organizer, Lupai Samuel Stephen, was displaced by the war and grew up in Uganda.
So the Peace Camp brings the people together to be able to, like, create relationships on personal levels, you know, so you get to meet somebody from a certain community that you're always looked at as an enemy.
Initiatives like these will not solve South Sudan's greater problems, but activists hope they can make small positive changes and rebuild a nation torn apart by war. Chika Odua for VOA News, Juba, South Sudan.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Bira Bira by Unique Arafati. I am John Tanza. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Again, Pira, better subira, Rabona Takio, who would delay.
Mata ali gugeli bataki fom fom. Mata shilu iya haja guam guam. Igeni bira, fetu subira. Rabona taki ombu edileta. Bira bira, fetu su. Bira bira, itabiligo. Bira bira, fetu su. Bira bira.